We're joined by a PGA Tour golfer, 10th season on the PGA Tour, currently number 26 in the world golf rankings. He won the CJ Cup on Sunday. It was his first career PGA Tour win. Jason Kokrak is my guest. Jason, good to have you on. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me on, man. I'm doing fantastic, as you could imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine. In fact, I'm eager to talk to you about it. Before we get to the final round Sunday, can you take me back to before that round? Like, what kind of thoughts were you having and what kind of emotions were running through you when you arrived at the course on Sunday, knowing you had a chance to get your first career PGA Tour win?
Well, I mean, there was a couple guys all tied with me, and then Russell Henley was three shots ahead. Russell's a proven winner on the PGA Tour. And, you know, I knew I had to throw something low up there to have a chance. And, you know, went out there with Xander Schauffele and Jason Day. Jay Day, unfortunately, had to pull out. But, you know, it was a pretty much a match play on the back nine. Xander played some amazing golf. And, you know, I knew I just wanted to stay within myself. I'd been in that position quite a few times before and just never really got it done. I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that everybody tells you, just let it happen, let it happen, let it happen. I'm like, well, that's just, I want to go out there and take it. So I tried to do that and, you know, take my chances where they were, but I was definitely nervous. I tell everybody that if you're not nervous, you're not alive. I mean, a lot of the guys that are going out there on tour, it's tough nonetheless. And it took me a decade to push through and win on the PGA Tour. So I'm ecstatic.
I think that's a great response. Jason Kokrak is joining us. I really like that. Like, you had a really nice career going. You had wins on what is now the Korn Ferry Tour. You had multiple second and third place finishes. In the PGA Tour, your career earnings were really nice. What I'm getting at is, it's the kind of career that millions of golfers would love to have, but was there a part of you that felt like it's incomplete until I get that first PGA Tour win?
Without a doubt. I mean, anytime you spend multiple years on the same tour and not win, you kind of have those doubts. But I mean, the golfer's mind is very fickle. As soon as you get a little bit of confidence going, you know, it's an amazing thing what the mind can do. But you know, I told this to a couple other people, that if you told me when I broke out on tour that I'd have a 10-year career on the PGA Tour, but you're gonna, you know, not have a win, I said, sign me up. I mean, that's a 10-year career on the PGA Tour is hard to come by. It's tough to do. So I was more than happy. I definitely wanted to notch that first victory, but, you know, it was a long time coming and, you know, I put the work in. My caddy and I definitely put the work in. He's an amazing guy and really helped me push through.
Jason Kokrak is joining us. Now, you mentioned that you started that round three strokes back of Russell Henley, and then you go out and you hit 12 of 14 fairways, 17 greens in regulation. So at what point in that round did you start to think, man, I've got something special going on here?
You know what, I think I rolled in that putt on number 8 go to 500 par. I mean, 8 was a tough read, tough pin. I mean, after that, I was like, man, we've got something going here. I knew I was going to be right around the lead. Xander was playing some great golf, too, so he was only a shot or two behind me. And then, you know, a couple holes later, he rolls in that 50-60-footer from off the green. And I said, okay, well, this top 10 player in the world is not going to give me anything today, so I'm going to have to step up and, you know, do something on the last couple holes. And you know what, things went in my direction. That up and down on 16 was very clutch, you know, somewhat of a tough shot on 17, but the drive on 18 is what I think sealed the deal. I mean, I only had a pitching wedge in after that.
Jason, what about the putting aspect? Like, that's not necessarily been your strongest suit, but then you switch up your putter at the BMW Championship. In this event, you led the field in strokes gained in putting. How much pride then is there for that number and the way you were able to hit one big putt after another when it mattered most?
You know what? I've been working on my putting for, you know, ever since the beginning of my career. So it's always kind of hit or miss. I'm kind of a streaky putter, but, you know, my caddy gave me a tip. He said, you know, it looks like you're a little hunched over and the putter grip is sort of just in the middle of your palm. It's, both hands are not fully on the grip. So he's like, let's try a 36 inch putter and go, you know, we went to Bettinardi and which I was putting with before, and we got something made up and I started feeling comfortable with it, threw it in at Wyndham and then had a nice little run there in the playoffs to get, you know, creeping up on the tour championship. Didn't quite make it in there, but it's been amazing so far. I mean, David's a great green reader, and if I can hit the points that he's shooting at, then the ball's going to go in the hole. So I think that was a big key thing for me to stand up a little bit taller, get a little bit more comfortable over the ball, and just pick the lines and pick the right speed. I mean, the greens over Shadow Creek were so pure. That was some of the best greens you'll ever put on.
We're talking to Jason Kokrak. He's talking about his big win, first win on the PGA Tour. Jason, you mentioned Xander a couple of times. I mean, the fact is, also, you said Jason Day was supposed to be with you, but he had to pull out. So you were a twosome playing with a lot of threesomes. Xander said afterwards, quote, "We got along really well, and we definitely fed off each other, and it definitely showed in our scores," end quote. I mean, it seems to me it can be really difficult to concentrate for hours on end during a pressure pack round. So what did you guys talk about, and how helpful was it to have those conversations throughout that round?
Well, I mean, I tell everybody, I mean, you're out there for 5.5-6 hours with, you know, 2-3-4 guys, you know, caddies, and, you know, just kind of have a little chit chat about, you know, anything. I mean, I've got 2 young boys. I mean, he's moving to Las Vegas, so we just kind of talked about, you know, life in general. I mean, if you can't spend, you know, 20-30 minutes chit chatting with a guy that you're playing with for 5 or 6 hours, it gets pretty boring. Especially playing in twosome behind a bunch of threesomes. We definitely walked slow and, you know, got to talk quite a bit. And it was just, you know, he's an incredibly nice kid. He's one of the best golfers in the world. Him and his caddy are two of the best out there. And, you know, really enjoyed the day. I think once we got to the back nine and knew that, you know, we were leading the tournament after he made that putt on 14, you know, I think we knew that we were ahead of everybody, but we had some birdies holes left, so we knew we couldn't just, you know, par in and, you know, take this thing. So we definitely had some fun, but when it came down to crunch time, I think we slowed down the chit chat and concentrated.
Jason, you're tight with somebody I go way back with. You're tight with somebody I've known for decades, who's a very good friend of the program, Steve Elkington. You're part of the Secret Golf stable. How would you explain Elk to somebody who's never met Elk, and what's he meant to you personally and professionally?
I mean, Elk he's been one of the best ever to play. I mean, he's got the PGA Championship, he's got Players Championship. I mean, won I don't even know how many times, but a lot of golf knowledge. Kind of one of the he's a great individual, great guy. I mean, him and his son's always come out to Houston to watch me, and you know, we've created a nice relationship over the years. And you know, my buddy Pat Perez introduced me to him, and you know, we've been boys for a long time. And I think he's been on your show a couple times now, so you know, I'm pleased to be a part of the crew.
It's great to have you as part of this crew. Elk has been on the show dozens of times. He is still probably the show's favorite interview. Pat Perez, I'm glad you mentioned Pat. Pat, he's one of one, right? He's a different kind of unicorn onto himself. What about Pat? What's he like to play with?
Oh, Pat's awesome. I mean, he's a character. I mean, you can see it with the way he walks, the way he talks. But the one thing I love about Pat, you know what you're going to get when you step out onto the first tee. I mean, if anybody watched that charity thing at the Wyndham when him and I took on Charles Schwartzel and Brandon Grace, I mean, it's just one of those things. You know, he's going to talk a lot, and he's a great guy. I mean, he's helped me along in my career too, and he couldn't have been more ecstatic for me. He flew into Las Vegas, so we hung out in Vegas one night on Monday night. We had a few glasses of wine together.
He's a dude, man. He is an absolute dude. All right, so you're going to, before you go, you're going to play at the Masters in a couple of weeks. The backstory here is pretty fascinating because you had been working to qualify for the Masters for 9 years. You earned your spot to play in this year's Masters, but then they postponed the event until November. What was it like to finally grind it out, earn that spot, and then find out it's postponed?
You know what? It's kind of one of those things. It's a little bit of a letdown because, you know, I've got 2 young kids, my wife, I mean, all my friends and family that have all pushed me and all have been behind me for all these years, to get them all out. I rented 2 homes in, at Augusta. I was just, I was over the moon to have my friends and family down there to watch me and to, you know, sort of a culmination to finally make it into one of the biggest events, on our tour. And, you know, then they go and postpone it. And now there's no fans, there's no patrons, there's nothing going on. So I was like, well, this is sort of a letdown, but you know what? I'm still going to enjoy it. And so I told myself, I was like, why can't you do it again? I mean, make the tour championship, win, you know, become a top 50 player in the world. And, you know, all these things get you into the Masters. So it'll be pretty fun to get my first Masters under my belt. And then when my family and friends are around, it'll be nice to get into the 2021 Masters as well.
So the thing is, you've never actually played that course, have you?
No, I refuse to. I've been invited for many, many years. I mean, I know a bunch of members, and they've always said, anytime you want to go, just give me a call. I'll meet you there on a moment's notice. But I said, you know what? I want to earn my own way in. Once that happens, I'm going to call you all the time. But, you know, then we had this pandemic happen, and I was planning on going down a couple different times, and then they shut the course down. And I was like, well, there's my practice rounds down the drain. But I'm going to head down a couple days early. I think the closest we can come onto the golf course is Saturday before the tournament. So I'm going to make my way down there and play golf with a few friends down maybe in Charlotte, and then head down to Augusta and definitely do my prep and get ready to play this golf course in some different kind of weather. So I'm hoping it's going to be warm and the ball is going to be flying, but if not, it's going to play more into my hands. So I'm looking forward to it either way. I can't wait to get to those hallowed grounds.
I was going to say, so finally then, I know it's different, and you mentioned it, you're one of the fans there, and we've got the pandemic still yet, but what do you think it's going to feel like to drive down Magnolia Lane and play Augusta National for the very first time?
I mean, it'll be surreal. I mean, it'll be kind of like a culmination of all the hard work and all the time I've put in over the years, not just on the PGA Tour, on the Korn Ferry Tour, growing up, but college golf, you name it. I've been working towards this goal for pretty much my entire life, and you know, I'm getting goosebumps actually just talking about it now. It's just kind of one of those things that every little kid, you know, is on the green that you got a 5-foot putt to win the Masters, and it's just like, you know what, I get to play my first one, and I can't wait to take on this golf course. From what I've heard, it's a right to left golf course, a drawer's golf course, and that's my ball flight. So I definitely think I got some kind of an advantage there, but I definitely need some prep. And well, my caddy's caddied there in the tournament before, so he's been there, so he can definitely help coach me around that place.
Can't wait to see it. He won the CJ Cup on Sunday for his first career PGA Tour win. He is up to number 26 in the world golf rankings, 10th season on the PGA Tour. Jason Kokrak, my guest. Jason, great job. Great to have you on this program. You're now officially in the Jungle Stable. We'll do it again soon, and congrats on that big win.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and always a big fan of the show.
Appreciate you, Jason. Great job. Really nice to hear that, and I appreciate the kind thoughts. All right, then. Got ourselves another one. What a great story. What a good dude. And a tremendous win for him.